There is a word. There is a word. And I want to read a familiar word here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And the gospel according to John chapter 10, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The gospel according to John chapter 10 and verse 10. And again, I'll be reading from the New International Version, so if mine sounds a bit different from yours, that will be the reason. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, then the gospel according to John chapter 10, verse 10. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." I'm going to read that one again. I just like the way that rolled off. "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." I want to talk this morning. I want to talk about, I'm still in this spiritual warfare series. And if I didn't get my numbers mixed up, this ought to be part 12. But I want to talk from this topic. If the victory is already won, why are we in a war? If the victory is already won, why are we in a war? No matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done, God loves you. As I said a little earlier, I don't want to hold you long today. Really, what I want to do is to remind you, maybe, or go over, review some of the things that we've already talked about, that we've been talking about for the past several weeks. This topic that I chose today, this topic that I selected, this idea, if you will, for a sermon, came to me several weeks ago. I mean, as Christians, we're always talking about the idea that we have victory over sin, death, and Satan.
Well,
I mean, that's the cornerstone of our faith. If we didn't have the victory, why would we be involved in what we're involved in? I mean, why would we be coming to church every Sunday? Why would we be giving ourselves, our time, our talents to the Lord? That's the cornerstone. That's why we have Sunday. That's why we have worship services. That's why we have a Christian religion, because we have the victory, supposedly, over sin, death, and Satan. We believe that Satan has been defeated. Well, anything or anyone that has been defeated supposedly has no power.
Well,
if it's been defeated, supposedly, logically, we would assume that it doesn't have any power. If that's true, if it doesn't have any power, then why are we struggling so much? Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody in here who's struggling right now? Anybody in here struggling right now? Do you have a problem, or do you have problems bowing to his will? We've been talking about bowing to his will since the first of the year, you know. Bowing to his will. We got happy talking about bowing to his will. Anybody struggling with that? Bowing to his will. I mean, have you made up? Have there been times when you have made up your mind to do the right thing, but then something comes along, and before you know it, you've succumbed to some sinful temptation. It really gets hard to do the right and the good thing sometimes. It's not always easy. Not always easy to do that which is right and good. I really don't have anything new for you today. This is really a review. It's really a review. Watch out, next Sunday I might have a test for you. But every now and then, we need to be reminded of what we're really up against. Every now and again, we need to be encouraged. I've told you before, and you know it for yourself. The devil is a dirty fighter. He does not fight fair. You're running around trying to throw up your dukes, and you know you waiting for him to throw a punch so you can block it and all of this kind of stuff. And the devil done fell down on his knees and got his knife trying to cut you at your ankles. You don't even have a rock in your hand, and he has a switchblade. No, he doesn't have one switchblade. He has two switchblades. Look at, if you will, look at the first scripture text that I chose. Look at the first scripture text, that text from Peter. The writer of 1 Peter is writing to a church that's under pressure. He's writing to a church that's experiencing persecution. The church that he writes to is under satanic attack.
All right.
Jesus had already, now watch this, Jesus had already died and rose from the grave. He had already declared that all power was in his hands. The victory, according to history, the victory had already been won. If that was the case, then why would Peter, or the writer of 1 Peter, have to write to a church that was being persecuted under satanic attack? If Jesus has already won the victory, why is the church under attack today? Listen to me this morning. We cannot afford to lose sight of the fact that the devil is always strategically scheming to mess up and mix up the people of God and to dissuade and discourage those who are not yet members of the faith family. If you're already in the family of God, Satan wants to make your witness weak and ineffective. That's why he's always attacking you. That's why he's always trying to get you to do what you know is not right to do. Sometimes he's more effective, he can use you more effectively if you don't turn completely away from the church. Sometimes he wants you to stay in the church and act a fool in the church. And that way he not only has you, but he has other folk looking at you. And when they see you, who are supposed to be a person of God, cutting up and acting a fool, they are just more determined. I ain't gonna get involved in that.
That's it.
If you're already in the family of faith, Satan. In the family of God, Satan wants to make your witness weak. Satan wants to make your witness ineffective. And if you're not in the faith, if you're not in a faith relationship with God, Satan is trying to do everything within his power to keep you from forming a faith relationship. That's why sometimes when folk who've been looking at the church, thinking about getting to church, Satan will go and point out somebody to them who ain't living just like they ought to live. Satan will say, see, look at that hypocrite over there. Look at, he's supposed to be a Christian, but look at what he's doing. Look at what she's doing. Listen to what he said. Listen to what she said. Satan forgets to tell you that ain't nobody else got to answer to God for you but you.
Come on, man. Come on now. Yeah.
You know, whatever I might do, it may not be right. But when we stand before the judgment bar of God, God is going to ask you. God is going to ask me. He's going to ask us individually, what did you do?
Yeah.
Don't fool yourself. The enemy is trying to tear down your faith. He wants to keep you weak. The writer of 1 Peter said, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He prowls. He creeps. He lurks. He sneaks. His aim is to catch you unawares. Huh? He often comes up unexpectedly. He comes up out of the blue. When you're planning to be a good Christian all day, you already figure you can't make it the whole week. But you've decided. Yeah, you already know you're gonna mess up before the week. But you say, I ain't greedy. I just want to do this one day. I know I can do one day for Jesus. And you've determined you say I'm gonna even do it on Sunday because I'm going to church. I'm going to get there on time. I'm going to stay all the way through the service. And I ain't going to nod on the preacher. And you're going to give God Sunday. And before you can get out the sanctuary, I ain't talking about on the street. I ain't talking about before you have to flip somebody the bird for having jumped in front of you. I'm talking about before you get out of the church, somebody step on your toe and look at you like you the fool. Huh? Yeah. Satan is sneaky. He catches you. He comes up unexpectedly. He comes up out of the blue. You sit down next to somebody, you know they're a good Christian. And they got an evil spirit on them, and that spirit jumps off of them on you. You ever sit down next to somebody? At work, at church, in the house, in your house, wherever. And they just had, watch, look at the person next to you and say, if you got evil spirits, don't you go right there.
Yeah, man.
you might get slapped upside the head here right quick. Yeah. I'm too weak to break up fights today, you know. But sometimes somebody else's spirit will jump on to us. And we'll allow it to. That's why the writer said, be self-controlled and alert. My brothers and my sisters, there's a part that you've got to play yourself.
Well,
you can't wait for God to do all of it for you.
Yeah.
You can't wait for somebody else to do all of it for you. You've got to do something for yourself in order to get some help.
Well.
Like some folk, every time you see them, they got their hand out.
Yeah.
Sometimes you ought to have a Kroger sack full of aluminum cans yourself and say, I'm on my way to sell these. I know I ain't going to get quite a bit, but can you give me a dollar? Well, when I look and see you already trying to do something, I'm more willing to give you a dollar.
Yeah, that's it.
But if every time I see you, you ain't got nothing, ain't going nowhere to get nothing, but want you to give me some of your, want me to give you some of mine, after a while, I get tired of shelling out all the time. I know all, I ain't preaching now, Emma. I know all of us fall on hard times, but when I look back at my own life.
That's it, man, that's it.
When I look back at my own life, My daddy came up without a father in home. Don't come telling me this stuff about I didn't have no daddy. My daddy didn't have a father in his home. My daddy was raised by a mother and by herself, but there was something in him. He decided to make a change for himself. He wasn't perfect, but he decided, I'm going to do a little better. Can I get a witness? Somewhere along the line, we've got to decide that what was in my life, I'm not going to be satisfied with it. I know that sounds like I was fussing. Let me get back to preaching here. If I can find my place, I'd have lost my place here. Be self-controlled. Be alert. Yeah, be alert. Look out for the devil. Don't get so caught up in the spirit while you praying that you can't watch out for the devil. But while you got both of your eyes closed, he'll sneak up and smack you upside the head. Ain't no danger thinking that he won't attack you just because you talking to God. While you praying, you know if the devil is busy, you better pray with one eye open. Even if that one does have a cataract on it, you can see a little something. I'm just about through, y'all. Just about through. You can never afford to really let your guard down. Because Satan is on the prowl and he wants to destroy you.
Yeah.
Don't ever fool yourself into thinking that you can match your strength with his strength.
Well,
you can't even outwit him in your own intelligence. He's a master at what he does. He's the prince of evil.
Well,
Jesus was talking to his disciples one day, and he told them a parable. And his point was that those who are in a mature relationship with him will find true peace and security with God.
Well,
other voices will call out to you, but you got to resist the urge to listen to those other voices.
Yeah.
Read that 10th chapter of John sometimes, and it tell you where Jesus is at. Other voices call out to the sheep.
Well,
but the sheep know the shepherd's voice.
Yeah, yeah.
But you need to be familiar enough with the shepherd's voice distinguish his voice from the other voice.
Yeah, yeah.
The other voices will only lead you to destruction. But he said something else while he was explaining the parables to him. He said that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's his job.
Yeah, yeah.
That's his purpose. He's coming to steal, to kill and destroy. Ain't no need of getting upset when the devil does his thing. He's doing what he's supposed to do. The thief doesn't come with good intentions. He does not come to play fair. When you hear the voice of the thief, when you hear that unfamiliar voice, you need to recognize the fact that he does not mean you any good. The thief comes to deprive you of security. The thief wants to separate you from the peace that you have with God. The thief wants to destroy your relationship with God. If you're just starting a relationship with God, the thief wants to come in and mess with that relationship. How many of you know that there's nothing that can really take the place of a good and meaningful relationship with God? Down in your soul, you know it. But the thief, the devil, will work on you and try to confuse you when you're in your vulnerable moments. He'll try to point out to you that God can't help you in certain situations. You know how we feel sometimes. Sometimes we feel like, and we're convinced that some folks sometimes, the only thing that's going to help them is just a good cussing out. You ever been there? Don't fool me now. I know y'all holy. I, I know y'all good Christians. I'm talking, even if you don't cuss or can't cuss, have you ever felt like somebody, if you could pay somebody, they go and you'd pay somebody to go and give somebody a good cussing out for you. If you didn't cuss them out yourself, or if you didn't pay nobody to cuss them out, just before you went to sleep, you had a daydream. In your imagination, you figured out how you could cuss them out. And then you convinced yourself that it was all right with God.
He know my heart.
I like that. He know my heart. Anybody ever say that? God know my heart. He know I really don't mean it. So while he knows that I really don't mean it, I'm going to give this person a showing up good cussing out. Not just a cussing out, but a good cussing out. I was getting ready to be foolish then. I was getting ready to let you know that there's a difference between a cussing out and a good cussing out.
Come on.
Down in your soul, you know it. Satan will try to point out to you that God can't help you in certain situations. He'll frustrate you so much. He'll frustrate you so much that you forget to bow to his will. For a moment, you won't care to bow to his will. He'll make you say to yourself and to those around you, I ain't trying to stay saved right now because I got to take care of this situation myself. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm glad that Jesus never leaves us without a ray of hope. Here's the gospel, y'all.
All right.
Here's the good news. No matter how discouraging things may look or be, Jesus never leaves us without a word of assurance. Not only did Jesus say that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But he also said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. No matter what may be going on in your life, Jesus has come so that you may have life. I'm not talking about the ability to breathe in and to breathe out. I'm talking about Jesus has come so that you might have a shown up relationship with God. That's what life is really all about. Because you see, this breathing in and this breathing out is going to cease one day. The body is going to wear down. The body is going to break down. All of us were feeling strong one day. All of us were feeling vital one day. But we kept on having birthdays. You can't bend over like you used to. Can't jump up like you used to. Breath gets shorter than it used to be. That just means that this life, this physical life is breaking down. But you ought to have another life. A life that never ends. A relationship that goes on with God. So when you're having trouble, bowing to his will, just remember that Jesus has come so that you may have life. When you're struggling with staying saved, just remember that Jesus has come that you may have life. But there's something else in there. He didn't just come so that you may have life. He came so that you might have life and have it to the full. You see, God wants us to have an overflowing relationship with him. So you may have to encourage yourself sometimes. But don't let the devil get you down. You may have to remind yourself of the word of God sometimes. But don't let the devil get you down. Every day before you start your day, you ought to tell Jesus, fill my cup and let it overflow. Don't just fill it up to the brim, but fill it and let it overflow. Because sometimes the trials and the tribulations of life will start sucking up that's in my cup. But if you're overflowing my cup, I'll have a reserve. I'll have a reserve. I'll have some extra stuff to help me to face the situations of life. Every day before you leave the house, you ought to tell God to fill up my cup. But then tell him something else. Tell him, say, use me, Lord, in your service. Draw me nearer every day. I'm willing, Lord, to run on all the way. But I need your strength to run all the way. I might get tired along this way, but I'll need your strength along the way. I'm willing, Lord, to run the race for you, but I can't run it by myself. Then every day before you get started, you ought to say, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Yesterday's falling might have worn off. Yesterday's falling might have gotten diluted. But Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Break me down. Melt me down. Mold me. Fill me. Use me. Just like you want to. I might resist sometimes, but just keep on breaking me. I might try to run, but catch me. Break me. Melt me down. Mold me. Shake me. Use me like you want to use me. If you give yourself over to God, you'll begin to realize, you begin to feel in your soul that the victory has been won. You may be engaged in a struggle. You may be engaged in a war, but you won't feel defeated because you remind yourself that right early, right early, right early, right early, right early, right early. Sunday morning, Jesus got up when the devil thought he had defeated him. Jesus got up out of the grave and declared, all power, all power, all power, all power, all power. Not just some of it, not just a little bit of it, but all power. Has all power. I don't have all power. I don't even have half the power. But I'm glad. I'm glad that I'm in relationship with Jesus. And I can have access to all power. I don't have it myself. But I have access to all power. If the victory, if the victory. is already won. Why are we struggling in a war? We're struggling in a war only because the devil just don't know he's been defeated.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So we've got to put up with some of his shenanigans.
Yeah.
But just keep on hanging in there.
Well,
keep on struggling.
Because yeah.
Even though he doesn't know it now,
yeah.
One day, he'll know it.
Yeah.
And God will say, servant, well done. Enter into the joy of your Lord, because you've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. There may be somebody in this place today who is not in relationship with Jesus, or maybe you have been, or you are in relationship with him, but you are not in fellowship with the family of God. You're not currently connected with the family of God. Whatever your situation may be, we invite you right now, if the Spirit so moves you, to come. If you need to establish a relationship with him, come. If you need to reconnect to the family, come. Wherever you are and whoever you are, we invite you.